We need to talk. Canadians want a healthy climate, but things keep getting worse. Horrendous wildfires, extreme heat, too much rain, or extended drought. You don't have to face this alone. With Citizens Climate Lobby Canada, you can do a lot. Working together, we can create lasting climate solutions. Visit citizensclimatelobby.ca and step into your power with Citizens Climate Lobby Canada.
You're listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam and Squamish-speaking peoples. My name is Jesse.
My name is Jamie.
And joining us in studio, we have Lila Gray. Lila, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we are very excited to have you actually in studio with us.
I know.
You and I meeting for the first
initial
time.
Initial meeting.
This is your third time on the show in one form or another, so you know the deal.
Mm-hmm. I'm back.
You're back, and you have just put out a brand new record called Afraid of the Dark. Or sorry, Scared of the Dark, You Should Be Too.
Correct.
Sorry, that's my 1990s childhood TV brain leaking there.
That's okay.
Welcome back, and congratulations on the new album.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Came out on November 21st. Was that the release date, too? Because I know you played the release show that day.
Yeah, it came out while we were on stage. So it came out at, like, midnight Eastern time on the 22nd, but 9 p.m. on the 21st.
Oof.
And we were on stage when it came out. It was Oof. Perfect timing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think people dream of having that kind of release schedule. So congrats on that in and of
Thank
itself.
Thank you. It was a dream. It was a dream. There was lots of moving pieces to make that happen.
Cool. And so that show was at Green Auto. I guess we'd kick it off there. How'd the show go?
It went so well. It was like truly the best tour kickoff and album release night that I could have asked for. Yeah, my band crushed it. Like the energy was so high. Everyone was dancing. The openers killed it. Yeah, like it was perfect. It was perfect. Couldn't have asked for a better show. I think it's a gamble sometimes when you're playing new songs because, like, I don't know. You don't know how people are going to receive them. They don't know them at all. But everyone kept the energy levels high, and there was lots of friends and new faces and talked to lots of cool people. So, yeah, no complaints.
Now, I know this is a different situation because by the time you're performing these at an album release show, the songs are done, dusted, recorded, mixed, that's done. But do you ever, when you play live, do you ever try new songs? Is that where you test them? Do you, like, crowdsource them there,
Ooh.
See what responses are? Or do you wait? Do you figure it out and then you release it when it's time to release it?
I've done it a couple times, mostly when I'm, like, playing a solo set. I'll try, like, kind of in their form that they get written in, which is just me and my guitar, and try that out and test that out. So if I'm doing a more, like, intimate set, I'll do that. But usually if I'm playing a set with my band, it's like those songs are either out or, like, coming out. I have played songs that are scheduled to be released before they're out. You know, like, oh, this song's coming out in 2 months. So if you like it now, stream it when it comes out.
Fingers crossed you like it.
Yeah, hopefully you like it, because the train's already in motion. But yeah, usually, like, they're either on their way or they are out when we're playing them with the full band. But we play with the, like, arrangements a little bit on a live setting, and yeah, always try and keep it a little bit different from the actual, like, studio version, because that's what I love going to see live music for, is the way that people, it changes every night that you play it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to, like, hear the exact thing that I can listen to on Spotify.
Totally.
No shade. Just, well, like.
And sometimes you can't. Couldn't.
Sometimes you can't.
Right? Like,
exactly.
Sometimes the
you don't have an orchestra.
Allow,
or yeah.
You don't?
I should travel with one, really.
Yeah, sure, one would fit in Green Auto, no problem.
No problem.
you mentioned, you know, that, you know, when you're playing this album release show, you're playing all this brand new material.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than a regular show. Do you approach the preparation for the show any differently?
Ooh, yeah. I gave a lot more thought to my, like, intros to the songs this time, because I think there's songs that I play that I've been playing for years, and I'm like, I don't know that I need to go into what I wrote this about everyone's heard this song, or if they haven't, I can give them kind of like a synopsis really quick. But because this tour specifically was like just album release shows, it was 3 tour dates, super small, picked those cities like very specifically. I wanted it to feel like a kind of behind the curtain, behind the scenes sort of look. So
like a presentation.
Yeah, of like, here's the what we're going to play you and here's the finished product, but here's kind of how it came to be. So yeah, I gave some more thought as to like the introductions and what I was sharing with the crowd about the creation process and that kind of thing. So yeah, in that sense, yes.
Cool. Well, let's stop talking about the music and listen to a little bit of it.
Let's do it.
Do you want to just, is there a song in particular you want to start with? Do you want to start with the first track on the record?
Let's start with the first track on the record, also because it's one of my favorites.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is Something I Knew Was Missing by Lila Gray here on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Did you stop to think of my feelings? Did I interfere with you leaving? Left a swollen mess of pride and dignity, and forgot about me. So I'll forget again and again, and I'll forgive again and again, till you start looking for something I couldn't find if I tried. And I'll forget again and again, to leave you stranded again and again, and I'll forget to forgive you for something you thought wasn't missing, until you lost me. She's got a new girl now, yeah, they're playing house.
Something I Knew Was Missing, Lila Gray, off the new record, Scared of the Dark. You Should Be Too. So you just got off a plane.
I did, like 2 hours ago.
Like 2 hours ago.
Like less than 2 hours ago.
You have just completed the tour?
Yeah. Yeah, done. We finished it on Friday, on my birthday, November 29th.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. How did tour go?
It was amazing. It was so great. Yeah, I picked like three specific cities, Vancouver, Nelson, and Montreal. I've lived in all three of them, and they all mean a lot to me. So it was really nice to see like old friends and then meet a bunch of cool new people in all those places. And yeah, it was such a treat. Honestly, best birthday present ever. It was just like playing music. Yeah.
You and I have talked about you and Nelson before. Mm-hmm. Has that music scene just like continued to grow since over the last couple of years? Because the amount of people I know that make sure they do tour stops in Nelson is remarkable.
Mm-hmm. It's like a really small community, but it's very arts centric. So people come out for live music and it's pretty much always a guaranteed like great turnout. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I think a lot of the towns in the Kootenays get skipped because they're really small and like, why would a tour stop there? No offense. But Nelson is one that's like relatively regularly on everyone's radar, at least for Canadian, like smaller independent Canadian artists. It's always like weird. I brought my bandmates there and they hadn't, I'm playing with a newer band and they hadn't been to Nelson before or like played in Nelson before. And I was like, I don't know how to prepare you for what this might end up being. It's probably going to be weird. And there's probably going to be someone who's going to try and talk to you midway through the set. And that did happen. There's definitely some weirdos, but it's fun. It was like bizarre, but great turnout, good energy. You kind of just got to like roll with it. And you're like, this is a crazy stop on the tour, but super fun. My parents were there like front row with all their friends. So yeah, very cute. Yeah. As long as I'm touring, I'll try and keep Nelson on the radar for sure.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The song we just played was something I knew was missing, which we're talking about big releases for you. You just put out a music video for this song.
I did.
Congrats on that. This is your third collaboration with Maddie Ginn.
Yeah.
And I gotta ask, whose idea is it to like always have water involved?
Yeah, this is, we've noticed this is a theme.
And I gotta say, it always looks like it is the coldest the water could possibly be.
So this was, this most recent video for Something I Knew Was Missing was the first time that we've shot it at like a seasonally appropriate time.
Okay.
And I only went ankle deep, which is like so funny because the other ones, it's like full submerge. And that was, those were shot in October and in April. Both times that for me personally, I'm not entering the Pacific. No, thank you. This was shot like on one of the hottest weekends in August. And I got to go ankle deep, and that was it. So, I don't know. I mean, the first one was, the song is literally titled Oceans. So it was like, obviously, we're including water.
You gotta.
And then Haunt, I don't even know whose idea it was. I feel like I'm very water. As I've been doing this like press circuit for this album, water has been a repeated question
sure,
in various forms. Like, not even just with the music videos. Like, I talk about it in my lyrics and stuff, and it's just been a subconscious thing. But now I'm like, lean in. Why not? So I actually don't know whose idea it was for Haunt, the second video that we did, that was also very like water focused. I guess there's a lyric in that song that says I'm at the water's edge, so that might have been the like, you know, Kickstarter for that. And then this one we did intentionally tie it into Haunt. We have one more music video coming out for this album, and all three of them are linked in like very small ways. But the water was the way that we tied it to the video for Haunt. So this was fully intentional, fully aware that we are back at the water. I don't think there's water in this next one.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Breaking the mold.
I know, getting a little crazy. But we haven't shot it yet, so who knows? Stick around. Maybe we'll add water in there the very last second. Yeah.
If anything, maybe a good pitch for like a bottled water sponsorship.
I have like a crippling bubbly water addiction. So if anyone would like to sponsor me, I would absolutely love that.
I love the idea of Bubbly's two like front people are Michael Bublé and Lila Gray. Yeah,
I think I would
be
more
successful from him.
Yeah. No, he doesn't deserve it. I don't care that his name is really close.
Yeah, that's just convenient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many songs?
I want to see someone work for their sponsorship.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
In terms of like themes from the record and this music video, because the music video is really captivating. It tells like a little bit more of a menacing story mm-hmm. to it. I don't know if you want to elaborate on what's going on in the actual music video and maybe how that ties into some of the themes from the song or the record.
Totally. Yeah. It was definitely one of the. It was like a very story-driven music video. We like sat down and talked about how we were going to execute it, whereas I think in the past we've had like a rough idea, but it's been more like a visualizer, I guess, something to accompany the song, whereas this one we were like, we want to tie a motif and a storyline into it. So the front half of the video is like fun, romantic, sexy, sapphic vibes, and the back half of the video gets gory. I'll leave it at that and leave the listeners to go watch it, because... Get those views up, guys. I'm incredibly proud of this music video. Like, it was a huge cast and crew that worked on it, and everyone worked so hard and pulled some long days to get it done, and it looks so good. I wanted, like, a darker kind of undertone for this record as a whole. It's called Scared of the Dark, You Should Be Too. And I wanted the music video with the title, or not title track, the first track off the record, to kind of encapsulate all of the feelings that I have in this record. So there's lots of like joyful parts in the music video. There's like fun dance, there's cool colored lighting, and then there's some more grim, like violent, gory bits, which, you know, is not necessarily what I'm writing about, but thematically like darker tones. So yeah, I'm really stoked that this got tied into the release of the album, and I hope that everyone goes and watches the video, because I'm incredibly proud of it and the whole team that worked on it. So yeah, it was definitely a conscious choice, and less of a visualizer and more of a like, this is a story that will tie into the lyrics of this song and the themes of this record. So yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to express your storytelling in another way,
mm-hmm.
And sort of like adapt the song into a video,
totally,
as opposed to just being like, okay, well, here's something to look at while you're listening to the video.
Yeah, I'm such a sucker for music videos. Like, I don't know, growing up, that was like a huge we got like 20 minutes of computer time, and my 20 minutes of computer time would be like 5 on Club Penguin and 15 minutes of music videos. So when I started making music, I knew that music videos were going to be like this awesome bonus. And I just think there's nothing cooler than like, yeah, like you said, like making a world for this thing that you've written about in the less like physical sense. So world building with songwriting is just like such a cool thing. And it's really cool to see the way that, like, as a fan of artists, the way that artists physically interpret their work, I think is really cool. And yeah, like Billie Eilish is insane at that. She creates true worlds within her videos. So she's been a huge inspiration for my music videos for sure.
So maybe like a snake in your next video.
Maybe. Or like, yeah, she's got like spiders that come out of her mouth. No, I don't think I'll be doing that.
Do you think, can dream, but not, no. Do you think she actually had a spider in her mouth?
She did. I watched the behind the scenes, because that's the other thing. I'm like, I'm a music video nerd, and that I want to find out how it was made too.
Yeah.
And she absolutely, there was a legit spider. I couldn't do that, personally. Right. I'm way too texture sensitive, and having something living in... No, thank you. No, thank you.
My nephew mm-hmm. is very into spooky stuff.
Okay.
He's 3.
Okay.
But he dressed up
this
as
a
like...
a dark path for a 3-year-old.
Yeah. For Halloween this year, he dressed up as like a raven skeleton.
Okay.
And
cool costume.
Cool, definitely a cool costume. Age appropriate. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
But you know, he likes what he likes. And he, for Christmas, he really wants a remote control spider.
Oh.
But his dad is deathly afraid of spiders.
Well, you as like
so
fun
like,
uncle,
really
you
torn.
Have to do
I know,
it.
I know, right?
Yeah. So, my dad had a tarantula when he was a kid. He grew up with 3 sisters, And there's like an infamous story where he released the tarantula at a birthday party and like ruined his sister's birthday party.
Let's go.
She'll remember that birthday party.
She will.
Forever.
It's become an infamous family story. Glove the tarantula is set free.
The tarantula's name was Glove?
Glove, yeah.
That was so good. So good. I do love that your love for music videos also coincides with your love for behind the scenes of music videos, because you also released a behind the scenes.
Always. Can you tell? You just go over to my YouTube channel and see what I like. Yeah but like that's also part of it. It's like you just see all the cool people that work on it and like how something comes to be. So yeah, we had Bruce Yan taking all the behind the scenes stuff for this video, and he crushed it. So shout out Bruce. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, mentioned Nelson. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about it. Another Vancouver artist who has spent some time in Nelson is Hallelujah Hailu.
Yes.
And when we were planning today's episode, we asked you if there was any music by local artists that you wanted to share.
Absolutely.
And her name came up. Did you and Hallelujah's paths cross in Nelson, or?
We actually knew each other before she moved to Nelson. Mm-hmm. We knew each other from the Vancouver music scene. Even though I was living in Nelson, I was like still playing shows here and recording my music here. And then she moved up to Nelson for music school. And we totally like, we saw each other in Nelson. And then I actually moved to Montreal, like I think like 3 months into her being there. But we did have some Nelson overlap, and I'm sure that she can share her like weirdness playing live stories in Nelson for sure. But yeah, we actually knew each other beforehand.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what made you pick this track?
Talk about songs that were not out but played live. She played this song for like years, and every time I saw it, I was like, oh my God, like this song is so good. It needs to come out. And then I think it was either the beginning of this year or like later last year, Useless came out, and I was like, finally, the day that we've all been waiting for. And I've seen her play it live once since it came out, and I was like, yeah, this hits even harder now that it's out. But I was waiting with bated breath for this song to be out, so I had to pick it.
Cool. Lila Gray's recommendation, Useless by Hallelujah Hailu, from the record Eternally Yours, right here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Spent too long on the X-ball line just for you to be late and whine. Keep her dying, my washing for Jason Dean. Got no hair, new piercings, and you don't know how to act around me. Oh my God, I think I've done it again. I found myself another useless friend. Useless. You need to roll. Does in your tank top chains, have you turn your leg green?
from Eternally Yours, Useless by Hallelujah Hailu. Here on the Vancouver Mixtape, where Lila Gray has joined us to share some of her picks for local tracks, like that last one, and also to talk about the new record, Scared of the Dark, You Should Be Too, which is out now, streaming, and also you can buy it on Bandcamp and maybe other places, maybe just Bandcamp.
Bandcamp for now. Well, and iTunes, but would love to get some physical copies out there for some shows in the summer, so stick around.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie asked you a little bit on this earlier. He was talking about sort of the lyrical content of the album, and you mentioned some, you know, darker themes. This is maybe just like a dumb question.
That's okay. This is a safe space.
Scared of the dark, you should be too. Why should we be afraid of the dark?
Yeah. This was like a note that I wrote in my phone like 2 years ago at 3 a.m., kind of like a rollover and be like, this idea came to me. I'm going to write it down. And then I did nothing with it. But I really liked it. I felt like that sentence or statement packed a punch. And I was like, oh, I feel like this is an album title. So I actually had the album title for a while and knew that that was what it was going to be and kind of shaped it around that. I think everyone has their own kind of version of dark, I guess. Obviously, I think like during the show, I had some visuals and like stuff like that that played into it being like the literal dark. I also went on a podcast and talked about like my fear as a child, which was turning the light off at the end of our hallway and then running downstairs. Like, could
most
not
relatable thing I've ever
yeah
heard in my life.
So like it literally could be that. I'm proud to say that in adulthood I am no longer scared of the dark, but as a kid absolutely ran down that hallway as soon as I had to turn the light switch off. So yeah, I don't know, I think it's been kind of fun hearing everyone's interpretation of it, but I think everyone could have their own version of the dark. I feel like there's some songs in here where I was like, oh, the dark in this song is commitment, or like, sure, I don't know, there's a different dark in everything. So yeah, I also like it kind of speaking to the listener with the you should be too half of it, kind of like personalizes it a little bit more. So
yeah, it's a good hook.
Thank
sure
you. Yeah, it's been really fun for marketing purposes and merch purposes. It's like so fun.
I believe it.
But I think there's also, you know, you talk about there's a different dark for everyone. And,
totally.
But I think that darkness or that fear, I guess, is a big part of romance and is a big
absolutely
part of like navigating the world of emotions, right?
Totally. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. There's different spots of darkness in romance in various points. It's like, oh, there's like the being vulnerable at the beginning, and then there's like continuing to be vulnerable, there's wanting to stay in a relationship, there's wanting to get out of a relationship, there's dark corners everywhere, things to be scared of all the time. So yeah.
And you know, when you're writing these songs, when you're writing songs generally, are you like trying to work through something that's going on in your life? Are you just sort of like writing songs, or like is it an exercise in like processing and understanding your own life?
Yeah, I kind of bad answer, but like it's kind of different every time, I guess. This cycle through, I wrote a bunch of stuff that I think I was trying to tell myself that I wasn't listening to. Like there's songs that I wrote and I was like, girl, you were trying to tell yourself something, and it's like 6 months before I did anything. Or like, yeah, I was in a relationship with someone and I was literally writing songs that was like, you gotta leave, and I was like, yeah, I know, we're good,
but not
we're
me
chilling. Not me, it's like obviously not about me. And then in reflection I was like, queen. And yeah, you were telling yourself something. So that was interesting, this cycle through. So in a way, I guess it jump-started the processing of everything. But sometimes it's like in reflection. There's definitely songs on there that are like not about anything personal, that are just like, I don't know. There's a song called Swimming Pool on there. And honestly, I'm pretty sure I wrote it during the pandemic. And I'm pretty sure I wrote it about wanting to go to a party in lockdown. That was like, I'm pretty sure that's the deepest level of what that song is.
Yeah, you want something you can't have.
Exactly. Yep. So yeah, I think it's different for every song and every record, but for this record specifically, a lot of it came like prematurely, I guess, before I realized I was processing something. Yeah.
It's funny you frame it like that, because one of the takeaways that I have had listening to it, and I was also going back and listening to